All right, here we go. Get connected. That's what we're preaching about tonight. Get connected. Get connected through your church. Get connected through your church. Almost everyone here tonight, no doubt, understands what it means to sit down at a computer and connect to the internet. Once you get online, you can visit a chat room, connect with people all over the globe, or receive and send electronic mail to people, your friends. Or you can simply use your internet browser, as you know, to access an incredible amount of information. Computers and the World Wide Web have created an information revolution that can only be compared with Mr. Gutenberg's invention of the printing press way back in 1436. And during January, we're talking about what it means to get connected. That's what I wanted to do for 4 nights, every Sunday night for 4 weeks, talking about get connected. Last week I shared with you how that just as you're able to connect to the internet, it's possible to connect to God. And you can connect to God in only one way, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can connect to God. I hope you'll understand. I was going to say tonight, lots of plans don't always work out. Remember, what did I promise everybody? A connected bracelet. Jean over here heard us talking. I mean, my secretary and I, after service the other night. And I said, Miss Tammy, now those bracelets are coming, right? She said, Pastor, I have their word on it that it will be here Friday. Well, this is Sunday, and they're not here. But they're coming. And now because they're late, I'm going to get them for 50% off. Glory. I'll take that. Anyway, this Wednesday night, I hope they will be here. And every one of you will have a bracelet to wear that says connected. Connected. Now you say, Preacher, why in the world are you doing that? Well, all the month of January, and now it probably will go to the first week of February or so, that we have to wear these bracelets at least for 4 weeks. And it may not be a fashion statement, but it's a spiritual statement. It's going to do 3 things. I want you to get in your mind what these bracelets will do. I hate it that I don't have them to pass out, but I don't. And so Wednesday night we'll start it, and I'll give them to you Wednesday and next Sunday. But they're going to be a connected bracelet that all you fellows and ladies are going to be such joyful folks to wear. Wherever you go, once you put them on, don't take them off for 30 days. Now, why, preacher? Well, you see, it does 3 things. When you see it, number one, it should remind you to have personal quiet time of prayer and Bible reading with God so you can stay connected to God. Number two, it's to serve as a conversation catalyst. In other words, what I'm saying, when someone comes up to you and says, what in the world is that ugly bracelet on your wrist? And what does that say? Connected, what in the world does that mean? Then you can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that you have been connected to the Lord and how your pastor says we have to wear this for 30 days and tell everybody what it means. Hey, would you like to know what it means to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? And you have a chance to talk about being connected. That's the second thing. And finally is to identify the people in our church. And you might see somebody down the street that maybe you haven't seen because maybe in Sunday morning you're in children's church and you'll see some of the folks. Because once in a while I'll ask children's church people, did you know so-and-so? And they said, I don't even know them. Who is that? Well, they've been back in children's church on Sunday morning. They don't see these people. Even my own daughter and son-in-law say, well, Dad, I haven't met them yet. Who are they? Well, if you see somebody walking down the street or downtown or at Walmart with that bracelet, I say, hey, you must go to my church. Good to meet you. My name is. You see, it's a way to connect to people. I'm so glad you're so excited about these bracelets. It does me great joy to know I finally found something that makes everybody so happy. Everybody just cringes. I don't understand. Today we're going to consider what it means to be connected through your church. In the New Testament, there are three main word pictures for the church. We are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the bridegroom who will come and claim his bride. We are the building of Christ, and Jesus is both the foundation and the chief cornerstone. Each of us, the Bible speaks about us being living stones. But the most common picture of the church is as a body where Jesus is the head, and each of us are like a body part. In Ephesians, Paul compares the church to a body 11 times. And then he wrote what you read with Frank a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. The church is the only channel God has ordained for his children to connect with one another. I want to say that again because the church of Jesus Christ is so very important. In fact, the church is the only channel God has ordained for his children to connect with one another. The church is perfect because it's comprised of perfect people. You know better than that. So let me start right now by saying the church is not perfect because it's filled with not perfect people. Can somebody say a hearty amen right there? Don't look for a perfect church. You'll never find a perfect church. The church is not perfect because we have a bunch of imperfect people who attend. But the head of the church is perfect. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. I agree with the little poem that says this, I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deke, and none is proud, but all are meek. Where gossipers never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make his church the best we can. I am patiently in love with the church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. Do you love the church? I just love God's idea about church. As imperfect as she is, one day she will be presented without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Until then, I am going to, as a pastor of a church, do my part. I want you to do your part as part of the body of Christ to make the church grow. Let's learn four exciting things about being connected through your church. Number one, write this one down. Church isn't a place, it's an experience of fellowship. Church is not a place, it's an experience of fellowship. Now, Brother Jeff back there, would you flash up there Matthew 18, 20? And then right after that, Acts 2, 44. And right after that, Ephesians 4, 16. There is something in those verses. Those three verses have something that we find in common, and I want to see if you can pick it up. Matthew, let's go back to Matthew quick. Matthew 18. I just want to see if you can pick this up. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, next verse, please. Now follow. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Next verse, please. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Did you catch a word that's in every one of those verses that's very important to the church? Did anybody catch it? The word together. That's exactly right. That word together is so very important. It's the word together that we're looking for. So my very first connection with the church is simple. Let's get together. That's what we're supposed to do. Years ago, I heard of a preacher who was always getting his expressions and his gestures kind of confused. He would say something like this. When you get out on a limb, That's the time somebody will pull out the rug from underneath you. That wasn't right. And I can remember him saying, people, we ought to get together. If you're going to say get together, you ought to say get together. Not get together. It's like a guy saying, I want to jump and reach that. You got to get it together. Come on, amen. Hey, let's get. Some of my basketball players, that's what they do. No, guys, you got to jump the same time and reach out, you know. Let's get together. Fellowship is more than cookies and Kool-Aid, by the way, in a fellowship hall. It's when followers of Jesus Christ get together in his name and experience something called fellowship, sharing a common cause. In the New Testament, there is no such thing as a closet Christian. No such thing. According to the scriptures, you cannot be a lone ranger and be a Christian. There's no Bible for that at all. Through Jesus Christ, you're already linked up with the other members of the body. For someone to try to live a solo Christian life would be as absurd as my hand leaving my body and trying to function by itself. My hand cannot function by itself. It must have my body. And there's so many people say, I don't need the church. I don't have to be a part of a church. I don't have to be a part, preacher. I can do my own thing. That's never what God had in mind. Never. Now, there's strength, by the way, in numbers. I was going to have this tonight, and I was going to try to get Joel, I'm going to pick on him a little bit, to take one pencil. Do you suppose that Joel could take one pencil and stand up here and just snap it in two? He could probably do that pretty easy. But if you gave him eight pencils, I would almost bet you he couldn't break it in two. You could do it? Somebody get eight pencils real quick. But if you had eight, and so what's the story behind that? You know, you can break one, real easy, but you can't break eight or nine. You know why? By itself, you can break a pencil easily. A Christian trying to live solo by himself, you can beat that Christian real easy, and the devil can take you down. But when you get together with other folks and unite yourself in fellowship and strength, the devil cannot break you so easily. Get together. There's strength in numbers. One person is weak by himself. But when I join up with other believers at church, we have strength. Jesus was the master teacher. He often used the world of nature to illustrate truth. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. He would say things like, consider the flowers, or look at the grass. Look at the birds of the air, he would say. There are several important lessons that we can learn from even geese as we think about the church. Now, let's get that geese picture up there, guys, if we can. Have you ever noticed when geese migrate, they never do it alone? You ever see geese fly? See that group of geese is flying? They fly together, and they normally fly in a V. This is a great place to have a church if you like the outdoors and animals. Man, there's geese flying over this church all the time. Squawking and a-talking and flying back and forth. The other day I must have seen 400 or 500. They just back and forth. There's a little pond back here and the reservoir's over here. They fly from the reservoir to the pond, out to the field, back. Man, it's awesome. I wish you could hunt inside the city limits. It'd be awesome. Adam, we'd get a bunch of geese. But they fly in a V formation. Have you ever asked yourself, why do these geese fly in a V formation? Why do they fly in that? Well, according to some information from NASA, that website, each goose creates a wingtip vortex that provides extra lift for the goose behind him. And because they fly in formation, they can fly 71% further than a single goose can by himself. That should teach us something. Now, how did these geese figure that out? Did the head goose say, I have a degree in aeronautic engineering, got it from MIT. Guys, I know how this works, just stay behind me. Is that what happened? You know that's not what happened. Okay, guys, fly in this formation because I know I graduated from MIT. I know how to do this. Is that what happened? No. You know what? God made them like that. My God created everything, and he made those geese just like that. And they know exactly how to do it. God made them that way. You may think the church is for the birds, but the same is true for us. Think about it. We can be more and do more when we join together than we ever could by ourselves. Listen, do you realize what our church has been able to do this year because we've gotten our folks together? And the more we get together, guess what? The more things we're going to be able to accomplish for God that we never could accomplish by ourselves. You know, I thank you so much for joining me. There's not anything I could do like we've done this last year without you. If I didn't have you sitting here working with me and preaching with me and soul winning with me and working in the bus routes and all the things we do, we would never get this much done. Man, we've got a lot of reporting to give to you next Sunday, and boy, it's going to be great. Hear what God has done in this fellowship. Geese fly together because it makes the journey easier. And we are a church because when we are together going the same direction, we benefit from each other. It makes the journey of life a whole lot easier. Staying with a goose theme just for a moment. If a goose falls out of formation, you know immediately what happens? He immediately loses the updraft from the formation of the V, and it's harder for him to fly. So once in a while, you'll see, while geese fly, you'll see a straggler struggling to get back to the formation. And I wonder tonight, are you a follower of Jesus Christ who has fallen out of formation? And you're struggling so hard? You know, God gave us the idea of a church because God knew better than anybody else what would be best for you to be a part of. And some of you, bless your hearts, you just don't understand it. You think, I can do this on my own. And you're not going to do it on your own. It's better to be with the group that God said you ought to be with. And I'm going to give you, God said, I'm going to give you a pastor. And he's going to perfect the saints. And I want you to get together on the first day of the week. I want you to join together and join ranks and get strong. And when you leave that church, listen now, get connected to church. And when you leave that church on Sunday night, you'll go out and face that world and face that sin. But you'll have something to face it with. Get together by yourself. The devil will break you like a pencil. But together with a group, you'll be strong. Stay in the group. Stay together. Get together. I wonder, have you lost the fellowship of a small group of people who love you and pray for you? Why don't you decide to rejoin the formation tonight? Why don't you decide, I'm going to come to Sunday morning Bible study. I'm going to start coming to that. I am. I'm going to quit fiddling around. I'm going to come. I'm going to see if Pastor's right about this. I'm going to come and join those classes, and I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to come every service, and I'm going to be in the flock. And I'm going to follow God. Roman numeral 2, church isn't a place. It's an extension of service. Looking at that last verse in our text, verse number 16, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are the body of Christ, and a healthy body grows and a healthy body matures. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are indeed the body of Christ, we ought to be growing and we ought to be maturing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if folks keep coming and new folks keep adding, that before long we put the balcony in? Wouldn't that be nice? Get the balcony up there with another 200 folks can come into God's house and sit with us and learn and hear the gospel preached. You know, it's so important for us to have that idea. Those last six words are critically important, I think, in verse number 16. Look, if you will, please. The edifying of itself in love. So very important. There's a job for everybody. That's my second connection. there is a job for everybody. The New Testament isn't the only place where the metaphor of a body is used. I have a role in the body of Christ, and so do you. In this body called the Harvest Baptist Temple, my job is to be pastor, teacher. Do you know what your job is in this place? One reason the body of Christ is often paralyzed is because many of the bodily parts aren't operating as they should. Do you know your part? God has you here for a reason. Do you know your part? God has a role for everybody in the body. Nobody else can fulfill what you can fulfill. Until you figure that out and start functioning in the body, you won't find true spiritual fulfillment. What's your part in the body? In Ezekiel chapter 37, God told the prophet, remember that story in Ezekiel? He took the prophet to a valley of dry bones. Remember that story? And told him to preach to them. And as Ezekiel was preaching, the bones started to connect together. That's the source of that old song, the foot bones connected to the ankle bone, the ankle bones connected to the leg bone, the leg bones connected to the knee bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel soon had an army of skeletons. Read the scripture. Army of skeletons standing in front of him. And then before his eyes, God put flesh and muscle on those bones. Wow. But they didn't stand a chance until they had the breath of God. And when God breathed his spirit into them, they became a great army. And then God said, Ezekiel, this is an object lesson about Israel. And they're like a bunch of dead bones without my spirit. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're just a bunch of dead bones without God's Holy Spirit in us. Now hear the word of the Lord. God's got a job for everybody. When God saved you, he didn't just save you to sit and stare at the preacher. He didn't get you to sit there and use your phone on Monday to complain about everything. He put you in the body for a reason. There's a lesson here to the church of God. God wants to bring life to our churches where there's death. If you're an ankle bone, lying over there all alone by yourself, God wants you to unite with the body. Come on, ankle bone. I don't know who you are, but somebody's got to be an ankle bone. Amen. He wants to give you life. Even in the church, we've got some dry bones. What kind of bone are you? Some people in church are jawbones. They talk a good game, but they don't live up to what they talk about. They love to talk about their religious things, but when they leave the church, they are certainly different people. Are you a jawbone? There's other people here who are wishbones. All they do is talk about how they wish things were different. Others are knuckle bones. All they do is constantly knock what's going on in church. But thank God we have some folks that's got backbone. Thank God for backbone Christians. They can be counted on to support the church and to give stability to the body. Can I ask you, what kind of bone are you? What are you? God's got you here for a reason. Are you connected? Remember, everybody's got a job to do. Let's look at our geese again. Let's look at the geese. Put the geese back up there again, Jeff, would you please? Let's look at the geese and learn from them. As they're flying in that V formation, the lead goose doesn't benefit from the updraft of the goose in front of him, so what happens? That lead goose doesn't experience that, so what happens? Well, studies show that they share the lead. Now follow me, please. They share the load. After a while, the lead goose does what? He drops back. And he gets in formation. And another goose takes the lead. Folks, don't think for a moment that I have to be the lead goose all the time. I get tired too, just like you. I get a little discouraged myself, just like you. That's why we practice something I like to call here at our church, shared leadership. Yeah, I'm the pastor, but I got a bunch of great deacons. They're good men. They talk sensible. They love God. I've got great school teachers. They really love God. I've got great Sunday morning Bible study teachers. They're just good people. And they're all part of the team, you see. And I depend on my staff. I got great secretaries. Tammy does a great job. Christine does an awesome job. Mr. Stinson does a great job. I mean, without them, I couldn't do anything like we're doing. They're wonderful. Marvelous men and women help lead this church. If I get tired, Bill Brown's always there. Joel Willoughby, Brian Benedict, David Wyrick. Guys, I don't know. Pastor, I'll take care of that. Bill says to me almost every day, preacher, is there anything else you need me to do before I go? Is there something else I need to take care of? I'll be glad to do it. Brother Gino Sharp, a missionary, says to me all the time, preacher, are you ready to do anything different now? Are you ready to, you want me to do anything? Want me to work on anything? Where's your credit card? You knew this was coming, didn't you, Brother Sharp? I gave him my credit card some weeks ago so we could buy some things because I want to do some upgrading on this pole. I want to put a screen here so the fellows, when they're preaching, can see what's on those screens. We'd have to always turn around. I want to see that right there. I said, Gino, why don't you get that done for me? Here's my credit card. He always goes, ooh, my favorite credit card. He kisses my card. It's weird. Anyway, I said, Gino, I'm taking the staff out to dinner today. I've got to have my credit card. Don't forget my credit card, Gene. I talked to him 3 times a day about that credit card. He was part of the dinner today. I even paid for his dinner. I said, Gino, don't forget my credit card. 3 times at church. Oh, preacher, I got it. I get to back to the house, but I'll get it. We're at the restaurant. I get up to pay the bill, and I said, hey, did anybody see Sharpie? Yeah, he left. I said, he left? He couldn't have left. He's got my credit card. The preacher, he left. I said, you got to be kidding me. He's got my credit. How am I going to pay for all this? He's got my card. So I dial him on his cell phone. It rings. I get his answering machine. I said, Sharpie, it's Pastor Lewis. You forgot to give me my credit card. I've got to pay the bill. Where are you? I need my credit card. The cell phone was home. So I am now coming from the restaurant and thank the Lord for a good helper, Brother Bill Brown. I appreciate you use my credit card. But now Bill gets all the points and I don't get any. So I'm about halfway back home, and my cell phone rings. I answer. I said, hello. Gino says, I'm sorry, preacher. Gino, I reminded you 3 times. He said, I know, but I forgot. The formation is so important, isn't it? Staying in that formation gives you strength. Do you realize if you don't take your place in the formation and lead for a while, we won't get as far? Some of you may need to step up to help us in different departments, in different areas. Step up. Studies show that in the average church, about 20% of the people do about 80% of the work. 20% of the people give about 80% of the offerings. How would you function if only 20% of your body worked? You'd be in trouble. You'd be in ICU. If you haven't found your job in the body of Christ, talk to us. Let us help you to get connected. Do something for God. Number 3, church isn't a place. It's an expression of encouragement. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the reason we are to come together as a church is to encourage one another. You know, cowboys used to wear spurs. Is that right, Cowboy Joe? They used to wear spurs on their boots. Why did they wear spurs on their boots? Somebody know? To make their horse go faster. They'd gouge him in the side. Giddy up. Let's go. Yeah. A little spurred on. That's another connection we have. Don't give up. Life's tough in the best of times. When we come together, we should be spurring each other on to keep trusting God. Come on. Don't quit. When someone is thinking about walking out on their marriage, what should the rest of us do? Hey, no, don't do that. We're here to spur you on. Stay with the marriage. Come on, amen. Encourage folks. Don't say, well, I'd do it too, that jerk. I'd leave him myself. No, say, hey, no. Stay with him. Come on now. Get to the altar. Get to God. Come on, you can do this. Come on, amen. Don't give up. When a troubled teenager is contemplating walking away from God, what's that teenager hear? Don't give up. Stay with it. When a troubled person is about ready to end it all, there should be a bunch of friends say, don't give up. We love you. Don't do that. No. God's with you. Don't do that. Always encouragement. What about geese? Go back to that geese picture. Here's a quick trivia question. Do you know this? It's a pride of lions. It's a pot of whales. It's a bed of oysters. And what do you call a group of geese flying? I hear a flock. Anybody else? Gaggle. Nope. Gaggle's when they're on the ground or in the water. Skein. S-K-E-I-N. Skein. If you've ever seen a skein of geese flying overhead, listen carefully, you hear a bunch of clucking going on. Honking. I almost brought my goose call. You can hear the call. You ever wonder, what in the world are they saying? I can imagine. Hey, Mom, we about there yet? Shut up, kid. Can you hear it? How much farther do we have to go? Or maybe it's a mother goose telling stories. Or maybe it's a wife goose that says, don't you dare pass another exit without stopping at the restroom. I don't know what they say. But I think somehow they might be saying, keep it up. Keep going. Let's go. Don't quit. It's a long journey. Just keep flapping. Just keep flapping. The Christian life's a long journey, isn't it? We can't make it unless we have proper encouragement. But wouldn't it be great if we decided we were all going to become a bunch of honkies? I just knew you'd love that. And just keep honking the good news. Hey, you can do it. Come on. Hey, don't miss church. Come on, you can do it. Come on, amen. Oh, how we need to get this lesson down. Get connected, folks, to church. Let church be fun again, like it's supposed to do. I don't know how many people are so discouraged with church. And when I knock on their door, they say, church, I would not go to that church. I don't want anybody talking to me about church. I don't like church. Man, I love church. It's great. It's where you can laugh and sing and worship and magnify the Lord. And y'all get your family to enjoying church again. Just spread the good news. There's a wonderful Savior, and He loves you, and you can be a happy person, fulfilled in Christ. Just love the Lord. Number four, and I'm finished. Church isn't a place. It's an exchange of compassion. Everybody needs a church because a church should be a shoulder you can cry on when you're hurting. I think a church should be a hand to pick you up when you're fallen. It should be a warm hug when you're lonely. It should be a tender word when you need comfort. We're living in a time when people are suffering in so many ways that we've never imagined. They're looking for a place and a group of people who will show them genuine love. That couple this morning, back in the fellowship room, they come from a strict Catholic background. And the little lady said again, "Oh, we came to that Sunday morning Bible study. We loved it. It was great. Our church, we never used the Bible." And her son said, "Man, my wife and I really enjoy it. We're coming back next week, preacher." Isn't that awesome? You never know who's out there hurting. Oh, how we need to love our Savior and live this life in such a way that pleasing to Him and shows everybody how wonderful it is to live for Christ. Amen. Our children growing up in our church shouldn't hate our church. They should love our church. We went through a span of time where folks grew up and they literally hated the rules and the regulations and the standards, and they hated church and church people. That's so sad. It is so sad. Church ought to be a place of comfort. Listen, we laugh at this church, but we also cry. My heart went out to Ann Henry when I knew that Daniel had passed away. And I wept before the Lord. I said, "God, what if that would have been me? Help everybody to understand what that really means when somebody is lost like that to death. I know we're all going to die, but it's so hard to face that. So church ought to be." And Ann, I'm glad we were able to do it for you. Go to her and hug her and say, "We love you. And we're praying for you. Because we know it's got to be tough." And wasn't that a wonderful thing? If you hadn't heard this morning, we raised $1,090 to give to her for the funeral expenses. And that will pay every funeral expense that she has. Isn't that wonderful? While we were out eating, the funeral home director called me and said, "Boy, Pastor, I just appreciate all that you're doing." I said, "It's not me. It's my church." I'm so glad to use that phone and say, "I have a wonderful group of people who love God and show everybody else." He said, "Well, I think it's fabulous what you've done." I said, "God's so good." You know, isn't that what a church is supposed to be? Honestly, a tender word, just once in a while, a hug, a hand to pick you up, a shoulder to cry on. We have so many suffering people. So my last point is this. This is the point of connection under Roman numeral 4. We have the responsibility of caring for those who are struggling. When one member of the body of Christ is hurting, the other member should rush to their aid. I'm always proud to hear how our church people run to the aid of others. I'm so proud of that. Whether it's a death or a surgery or a job layoff. You know, this morning I told you about Dan Kaufman. They took him finally to Toledo Hospital. And there's something wrong with his heart. And again, and the defibrillator went off 3 or 4 times. And I just mentioned to John, what a wonderful man John is. I love John McLean. I just mentioned to John, I said, "John, I don't know if you have any time today, but I'm with my staff having a dinner, and I can't run up to the hospital today, but could you do that for me?" And he and Barry Halstead took off and went to Toledo and visited Dan Kaufman. Isn't that special? The other day, there was a fellow dying of cancer, and Brother Larry Petrie had asked me if I could go see this fellow. I said, "I'd be glad to, Larry, but I won't be able to right now." So it was a few days, and the day I was planning on going, I couldn't go, so I called Junior Kearns. I said, "Junior, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I need some help." There's a guy dying of cancer. I wonder if you could go see him for me. I'll be glad to go see him with you again, but I can't go right now. Jesus said, preacher, I'll go right away. He went right away and went over there and talked to him. And then we went again just Saturday, I guess it was. Was it Saturday? No, Friday. Friday. On Friday, he and I went back to his house, prayed with him, made sure he knew the Lord as his personal Savior. He's dying of cancer. But at least he had to have somebody stand and talk to him about the Lord. And we asked him, do you know for sure that you're saved? Are you 100% sure that you know Jesus Christ? Because you're going to be in eternity real soon. But isn't it good to have somebody who cares? Can a skein of geese illustrate this function as well? You bet. Studies have shown if a goose falls out of formation, get that goose back up there, please. If a goose falls out of formation, now listen to this story. This is awesome. Now, God created all this. If a goose flying in formation gets sick or is wounded and has to drop out of the V, two other healthy geese will follow it down and stay with it to protect it until either it gets healthy or it dies. They say, preacher, is that really so? I'm telling you, it really is so. I was out hunting one day over on the Green Springs. There was a flock of geese. I was with my wife. She and I were hunting. Those of you who don't like hunting, shut your ears right now. But we were hunting, and a flock of geese came over. I said, baby, get ready. Here they come. Bam! We shot, and one goose, boom, hit the ground. This is no kidding. Those geese flew away. And all of a sudden, three or four of them broke away, came back, swooped right over where that dead goose was, swooped down. I said, man, we ought to shoot again. My wife said, that one's hurting, and they're hurting for that. I said, honey. Goose comes down, sees us there, takes back off. But the goose was dead, so they left it. If it hadn't have died, they'd have stayed right there with it. Isn't that amazing? Don't tell me that we should be less caring than geese. We should be more caring than geese. God created them, but guess what? God created you. In His image. Connected. Preacher, why are you preaching about these connected messages? Because people in our culture are hungry to be connected. You say, how do you know that? That's why they have cell phones. Have you ever seen so many people have cell phones? They want to stay connected. That's why they have pagers. That's why millions of people enter chat rooms and leave notes on message boards. We are a generation of screenagers. Not teenagers, screenagers. Who spend hours in front of a computer screen or video screen trying to connect with people that we see. The best place to make friends and build meaningful relationships is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find better friends or a better boyfriend or girlfriend than you'll find at church. Don't look, young people, for your dates at the bar or at the public high school ball game. Or sock hops. Sock hops. That's a 1940s, 50s thing. What do they call them today? Yeah. Now you're going to admit because you don't want to admit you've ever been there. You won't find a good date there, folks. You find a good date at church. Amen. Ladies are coming, and I'm closing. I think one of the reasons people are turned off by the church is they see a lack of commitment and zeal in our own lives while they're looking for a group that's got radical commitment to Jesus. I think so many of our churches turn people off because there's no radical commitment. And young people can spot that. Folks, let's get committed to God through our church. My heart's desire and prayer is that our church will honestly be a radical fellowship of love and acceptance. And I really do pray that God will set the members of our church on fire for Jesus. And when that happens, people will come just to watch us burn. We're on fire. Oh, wow, you ain't never seen nothing like that place. Those people are on fire for God. Just come and watch us burn. Where are you at tonight? Are you connected through your church? Do you have this intense desire to labor for God? Aren't you kind of tired of this nominal, mediocre Christianity? Isn't this the year, 2010, to get connected? I mean really connected. And then you're going to be so thrilled Wednesday or Sunday whenever you get your bracelet. You're going to be thrilled when you get your bracelet. Amen. Thank you, sis. Amen. Wear that connected bracelet. I've gotten connected to God. Got connected through my church. I want to tell you how you can get connected to God. Where are you at tonight? Just a mediocre Christian, just barely making it from week to week? Or are you on fire burning for Christ? Let's stand together, please. Everybody's heads bowed, every eye's closed.